I'm Elise Covey, and this is Boston Bachelor Besties Podcast.
Bum, bum, bum.
And I'm here today with
Robert White. And she can't figure out. She's on mute. She's on mute. She's unmuting now.
Unmuted. And Bevan Culver.
And will we have a guest appearance by another person in the room?
Yep. Chris Stanford is here too. He's a bachelor rookie, so here
bachelor
comes
rookie. Okay.
So exciting.
So we're the Boston Bachelor Besties because we all met in Boston. Elise is the only one still in Boston. Bevan and I vacated at various points over the past 5 to 7 years. And we've been watching, well, y'all should really talk about this part. Y'all have watched, how many seasons have you watched, like, Elise and Bevan, roughly? Or how many years, roughly, have you been keeping up?
I probably missed, like, 7 seasons, but I've watched all of them, including all of Bachelor in Paradises. And the Bachelor Games, or Winter Games, remember that debacle?
Yes. I've been watching since Andrew Firestone. His season. Well, I think I was watching prior to that, but I remember Andrew Firestone because I had a picture of him in my locker in middle school.
Wait, you've been watching since middle school?
Yeah. I can't believe my parents.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was a love story. I mean, it is. That's why I continue to watch it.
By the way, we are all believers on this podcast. Everything in The Bachelor is 100% real. 100%. There are no edits.
Everybody's here for the right reason, too.
Everyone's correct. Here for the right reasons. Correct. They're all here to find their person.
Yes, true. I also thought when I was young, I thought the fantasy suite date was just like, okay, no cameras. Everyone just gets to talk for
That isn't what it is. Like Disney princesses don't show up.
It is funny you say that because in one of the last episodes of Tayshia's season that just aired, one of them did say when he got back to the other two guys, he was like, yeah, we just like talked like all night. And it was like, yeah. Sure.
Uh-huh. Verified my middle school my thinking.
Yeah. So the plan for tonight, what we're talking about doing is talking during the commercials as we watch this. So we're gonna like air the episode and then during the commercials, which you know what are 2 to 3 minutes, give our reactions. And that should add up to something like 40 minutes or so. And I mean, the three of us are, it has been polled by the American public and we are three of the most delightful, funny people around. Yes. So, you know, you're guaranteed to enjoy this. And Elise is turning red as I say this under pressure right now.
Right. Just like a recap. It's like a little recap of the show. It's going to be great.
Exactly. And Elise, what's the name of your blog? Obviously, people might be hearing about this from your blog, but what's your website?
Back to the blog. It's called afterthefinalrose.blog.
And it's so good.
And how long have you been doing that?
Oh man,
I feel like Lauren Zima also has said that she likes your blog too.
She tweeted about it.
I know.
Okay, you guys have to educate me. Who is that?
Lauren Zima is an ET host, and she was like on The Bachelor for so long, and then most recently she's dating Chris Harrison, aka the host.
So she's got some insider info.
Yeah.
And she likes your blog.
Yep.
She did. Yeah, she tweeted at. She retweeted me. Tweeted at me. Oh, yeah.
Also, Zach C. Retweeted or liked one of your tweets recently, right?
He did. I made suggestions of things for them to do. And Lauren Zima, I talked about their cousin Corey. And they did like a little, her and Chris Harrison did like fireside chats for quarantine. So I would tune into those.
Oh, nice.
Wrote a little diddly about them. They're so good.
I think it got cut out when you said how long you had the blog. Elise, could you say that again?
Oh, yeah. Oh man, it's been since grad school. So it was a grad school project. And that was when social media was like first starting. That's how old.
Wait, it was a project in grad school? Literally, you did it for an assignment?
I did. Yes. Yep. I did.
And that's now how you've made your millions, right? Through the advertisement revenue?
Penny. Every little penny. The amount, yeah. The amount that I make for all the hours I spend on it, it's so worth it. I just, it's like pennies. I love talking about it. But yeah, no, I did it for a school project, and then we had to do like a report on it, and we had to like research how to use how to blog and start a blog and stuff like that. And yeah, did it on The Bachelor because my roommate was like, "You really like that show," and I was like, "No, I don't." And I was like, "I guess I talk about it all the time."
No, I don't.
That was back when you were less self-aware.
I did love it. I didn't realize I talked about it so much, though, that it was like warranted a blog. And so she's the one that made, she's the one that suggested it because I wanted to do it on running. And then she was like, do it on this. And then I loved it. It was so fun.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, do y'all want to get this show on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Sweet. We're going to start it. And we'll see you guys during the commercials.
Yay! Yay!
Okay, so initial thoughts. What do you guys think? He's the most popular. Okay, it blew my mind that he's like, they had record number of submissions, even though he didn't have his own season. Like, how does that happen? I'm just, that blows my mind because the other ones in the past are so exposed through the TV show, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it was a lot of, because the quarantine, and he's friends with, Tyler. And they were posting like every single day on their Instagram, like working out. And Hannah had him on her Instagram. So they both had him on as their buddy. And even before quarantine, weren't they doing like that food thing you were saying, Covey?
Yep. ABC food tours, which fun fact, it's not related to ABC. Like he started it before the show. I think it has to do with like ABC. I read somewhere that was had to do with the Alphabet City in New York, like in a kid. But that, don't hold me to that. It could also be just because he works with kids. But that was confusing to me. Yeah, they did. And they were doing group runs and stuff. Yeah, with the kids. Because he's friends with Tyler Cameron and they were roommates in New York. I think they still might be. And he was cast for Claire's season. So he did have relationships with the producers through Tyler Cameron. But you're right. They did. And then they ended up pulling him from Claire's season and making him the Bachelor. But you're right, because they did. They called it the quarantine crew. And Hannah B was there and she was the last Bachelorette. And then Tyler Cameron was there and he's also very popular. And we were like, are they going to date or not? And then Matt James was there all in the same house and they started a TikTok and like that blew up. And so all the young kids.
Oh, so TikTok is involved.
Yeah. 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 That was their big thing. The quarantine crew. And you're right. Yeah. They would work out. So he was.
I'm just surprised that still seems so meager compared to like having an entire season being featured on the previous, you know, season of like The Bachelorette or whatever, like, you know, but hey, props to him. And he's got two first names, which is always a strong move. I mean, Matt James. It just sounds cool, catchy. Right?
Very catchy.
And okay, Tyler Cameron, who is that again? I just Googled him.
He was on Hannah B's season. He was the third person, right? Third?
Second. I mean, I guess.
Peter, and then who'd she Tyler pick? Cameron.
She picked Jed.
Right? Oh, yeah. Was it Tyler and Jed then? I can't remember.
Yeah, because they brought Tyler out after the final rose and she was like, hey, so.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like
you want to go on a date?
Yeah.
I'm like the audience surrogate for the people who don't know it as well. So I like ask the questions that the audience is burning to ask. At the same time though, I might be slowing things down. You know, I'm like the slow kid in math when everyone else wants to do calculus. And I'm like, you know, how does long division work? You know, so right. I don't want to be like that either, you know? I just can't keep up with you ladies and your Bachelor knowledge. I didn't watch this in middle school. I watched The Mole, which is a very different show with Anderson Cooper before he became famous. He was the host of The Mole. Still probably my favorite reality show ever.
Elise, did you watch it?
I love The Mole. That was
amazing.
I also watched The Mole. Every reality show there was. The Mole was the best. No wonder Anderson Cooper looks so familiar to me. I was like, how do I know this guy? I know he does the news, but like.
As far as I know, that was his first big thing. Like, that's the first time I'd ever heard of him. He was literally a reality show host on this show called The Mole, which was one of the first reality shows. Is it in that, like, my memory is like, in the modern era of reality shows, it was like Survivor was like the big one. And I know there were some others. And I know Real World was like around. But then like there was this new round of reality shows and The Mole was like that first batch when I was in like probably high school. We're talking about early 2000s, something like that.
Yeah, The Mole was the best. It was like a mystery.
They played really cool, fun games. It was like the fun part of Fear Factor without the insanity and the gross out stuff.
Yeah, Fear Great Race, I feel like, were also other reality ones, right?
Yeah, oh, totally. But on like The Mole, they would play like laser tag in like this warehouse, like, or this Alamo setting, like this cool stuff that you just would wish you could do like as a kid, you know? And they were actually doing it. It was really fun.
Yeah, and you had to figure out who was the mole.
Exactly. So. All right, the show is back for me, so we should probably get back to it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
All right, so we saw our first batch of girls. What are our thoughts?
Okay, man, I have one comment to say. I appreciate that. I think that the show got a lot of flack because they were picking people who were trying to be Instagram followers. And so I think that they have reached out and tried to get girls with real jobs. Nice. But these ladies seem a little cuckoo. That's funny.
All the previews
like, it's going to be a fun season. That's it.
All the previews make them seem a little intense. Although intense, there's actually substance to these intros. Like there's a battle dancer, there's two attorneys, there's deaf or hard of hearing.
Yeah, and what did she say? She's hard of hearing? Is that what she said?
Partially deaf, I think.
Okay.
It's like, and then there was a other girl, she was like a news anchor, and then her dad has ALS. The other one, did she grow up in Ethiopia? I missed her whole storyline, but they're all gorgeous, but yeah, they all have like some depth to them, which the ballet dancer, it sounds like she makes it far because like she also works with kids and stuff and is active, very active. And I feel like those are two things.
Good for him.
Yeah. But it's so weird. I was not expecting these intros because the previews make it look like they're crazy. Like they look catty. Yeah. But these intros look like they have depth. So interesting.
I did have this moment of, you know how like the Bachelor producers are like uncanny with like having a great mix of like deep people, then like your averages, and then your like one or two crazy slots. And I just pictured like this detective board with yarn connecting cards, you know, and like they have the crazy slot up here and it's like, okay, she'll be the crazy, you know, and like, what do you think? Do you think they go for one or two crazies a season or something like that? Or?
Yeah, there's always someone. Yeah. Someone has to be painted as like the stirrer, the pot stirrer.
Yeah.
I also, go ahead, Elise.
We have the one that I think they're trying to is like her name's Victoria, and that her title is like, again, to Bevan's point, where they're all like social media influencers or whatever. Her title is the queen. And it's like, oh God,
here we go.
The name Victoria reminds me of how I might be being catfished currently, which I'll explain in the next commercial break.
You are? Yeah.
I don't think I actually am, but there are indications Well, I'll explain in the next commercial because we're running out of time. But another really funny thing is one of the ladies they were showing, I don't think she wasn't one of the ones they actually gave her a little story yet. But I was like, I think I might follow her on TikTok. And like, I don't think I actually do. I think it's just she looks like her because the girl I follow on TikTok, I don't think even is like, I mean, it's not Bachelor related or anything. She is like a popular creator on there, but it was just really weird. And I mean, it will be crazy if that actually is someone who I found on TikTok, like maybe before she got, you know, and on The Bachelor, but I guess we'll see. Any other thoughts?
I hope you follow her on TikTok and I hope you're being catfished. I'm sorry to say that. I really want you to find the one that makes your heart pitter patter, but please get catfish.
I mean, if I'm not going to find true love, then at least a great story for the rest of my life is a good, you know.
Well, go ahead and get catfish now while looking for the love of your life, right?
Right. Like, it's a good way to pass time.
Know that it's catfishing and we're going to go with it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all right. I think, what'd you say, Elise?
Oh, I said it's such a better story than even recapping. Like, this is great.
I just wanted to leave the, you know, our podcast audience with something to wait for, you know, for the next commercial break. So
grab onto and the three steps of knowing you're catfished.
Right, exactly. This is secretly a catfish podcast where we explain the tactics of catfish and how to avoid them. So, you know,
we just talk about all the other reality shows except for this one. We talk about The Mole. We talk about catfish.
All right, it is back on. We're going to return to The Bachelor. So we just saw his little impromptu counseling session with Chris Harrison, right? Like, I don't know if that's happened before.
I like you.
They usually have, I mean, they've had sit downs, but that I feel like they do it later in the season when they're like really emotionally torn. They're like, bring in Chris Harrison.
They need help.
Yeah. Like,
I like how Chris Harrison says there is a phenomenal chance you will meet like the woman of your dreams. And it's like, but what is the going rate for couples after The Bachelor? You know, like what are we calling a phenomenal chance? You know, not to be too much of a hater here.
He didn't want to say 10%, but that's probably what it is.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, that might be lower for The Bachelor. Bachelorettes tend to do better, but they just had, there were two divorces in Bachelor Nation this last year.
Isn't that terrible?
Separations.
I'm so sad.
So yeah. It blew my mind when I found out there had never been a Black Bachelor. I found that out, I think, when Rachel, I believe, was the first Black Bachelorette, right?
Right.
Correct.
Correct. And it blew. See, I know some things, you know. I know some things.
Robert, way to go.
But yeah, because that's when y'all told me that, like, I was like, wait, what? Like, I just assumed. I mean, partly I just feel like media tends to at least attempt to be on the leading edge of some certain social issues or something. And the other thing is media likes to create buzz, you know, and it's like, that creates buzz, any new thing. And so that surprised me. I'll be honest, I'm surprised there hasn't been a gay Bachelor season, honestly. You know, I mean, it creates complications logistically of how to, you know, sorry, at least you're breaking up. What'd you say?
No, same thing. Complications, like, because they're all living together. So if they fall in love with each other, I mean, that's a possibility.
I mean, you're talking about primetime TV there, though. Like, who wouldn't watch that, though?
So that has happened in, I think, because they have The Bachelor in other countries as well. So, like, I feel like I saw it in like France thing, and they were filming. I was like, what is this? And I was like, it's The Bachelor, but it's like in a language that I don't speak right now. So it was amazing. But there was one season. I can't remember which country it was in.
Korea or something?
I was gonna say Korea. Okay, cool. I was like, I was thinking it was an Asian Korea. Yeah. I was thinking, and the two contestants fell in love with each other.
Yes, I think it was Korea.
Yeah.
Or Japan. Yeah, one of those. Yeah.
Cool. That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, but wasn't before Peter was the bachelor, weren't they gonna get some another who was the bachelor that we loved?
Mike?
Yes, they were gonna get him, but something came up and so they picked Peter.
Yeah, I kept typing like
the first Black bachelor, and then sorry, what?
I kept typing like Mike Johnson instead of Matt James, and I was like, ah.
Yeah,
but they, I mean, it's been 25 seasons and they haven't had a Black male lead. It's like,
right.
That's honestly shocking to me. Have they had an Asian lead? For
no.
Nothing.
All white, yeah.
Wow.
Right? Yeah.
Not even a I'm trying to think if there's...
No, Peter was technically Cuban and white.
Juan like Pablo was Hispanic.
Oh, Juan Pablo. Right.
And Claire.
What is Claire?
Also Hispanic and white.
Okay.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So we've gotten some Latinx representation. But that's about it.
It's just crazy. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, like I said, it just surprised me because like I feel like they could honestly generate more buzz if they mixed it up, you know. But
yeah.
I'm no Chris Harrison, you know. I don't make these calls.
Yeah. Well, had Tayshia too this last season, even though originally they were Claire, but there's that. She's also biracial.
Yes, I believe she was half Black, half Mexican, I believe.
Yeah. Yep. Robert.
I try to watch
Look at what we've created. I feel like a mama bear watching her baby cub just flourish.
You know, I try to watch most of the country's Bachelor's shows. You know, I just keep them on my DVR, you know, just during the day. But I can't do it all. I can't do it all. So, you know. All right. You guys ready to get back to it?
Ready.
Yeah. Let's see some intros. This is the best part.
These girls are probably going to be crazy. This is going to be great.
First impressions.
By the way, I think the girl that shows the penis-shaped thing is the girl I follow on TikTok. Okay, goodbye. Okay, can I just say first off, I find goat hooves on women incredibly hot. That is so sexy. So sexy.
Nope. I hope you're catfished.
Yeah, so what did y'all think? Y'all were reacting to the last girl right there, the lingerie model, right?
Who is that?
I didn't catch her name. I was distracted. I was distracted.
You're out of the podcast.
I think this is a good time to turn to our fellow dude on the podcast, Chris, and hear his thoughts on some of these initial ladies.
I thought they were all nice. I mean, nice. I think that he thought that some of them were, I don't know.
Nicer than others?
I was watching, but... There was just a spark right away with some of them, but I don't know who, but some of them.
I think it was Mari. I wrote down her name, who y'all were saying he seemed taken with. He like watched her as she walked away with a gleam in his eye, kind of.
Yes. The white dress.
Yeah. I like their dresses. I think they all have very nice dress styles.
Except for the one with, I mean, come on.
There is one where Bevan said, where is her dress when she came onto the scene?
I don't know. Please cover up just a little bit more.
It was missing parts. But the one, it looked like she was going to ask him which dress to put on over her lingerie.
Did she have other dresses with her?
Why did she just write lingerie?
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure I understand the prop of carrying a rack of two other dresses, but I don't know.
I guess some guys like that, you know? Some guys like...
Chris, what if you're a rookie? Is this your first season, period?
This is my first episode.
First episode.
Not The Bachelor. I think I've watched The Bachelorette.
Oh, okay.
How much of The Bachelorette did you watch? Like one or two episodes?
Well, I think I've seen this past season.
He watched a couple of episodes, and then one episode I did not think that he was actually watching. I didn't think he was like was paying attention to what like was going on in the episodes. And then I was watching, he was working from home one day, and I was watching a recorded episode, and he's like, "Oh, is that girl?" Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, "What the?"
I was listening.
He knew it. So I guess he was paying attention.
Well, you're 45 minutes into your first Bachelor season. What are your thoughts so far? Let's hear it.
Overwhelming, man. I can only imagine what that guy is feeling. 30 women having to go through. I mean, I can't even keep straight, you know, my tasks to do for the week. You know, it's like, how do you keep track of 30 different women? It's crazy, man.
Would you create a spreadsheet?
Well, he can't unless he has an assistant somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah, they should do tags. They should have name tags.
I know. I don't know how he keeps the name straight. I could not do that.
Why do they do 10? Why do they have to do 30?
Which one do you like best? Which of the ladies so far do you think Matt James likes? Or do you like?
Me?
Yeah, who do you like, Chris?
You know what?
Tell us in front of your girlfriend.
I didn't get a chance to see them very well. I just heard them. And I like the girls that had some confidence to them and weren't like overly nervous or overly aggressive, but they were just had some this confidence about them that they were, you know, that's kind of, I mean, I didn't know who they were because I couldn't see them, but
yeah.
For the listener, we have resorted to a impromptu audiovisual setup of my laptop's webcam pointing at my living room TV. To watch this television episode until Elise and Bevan can get their shit together and buy some sort of streaming plan with a DVR. So, you know, that's what Chris is referring to.
Yeah, I think I will subscribe to cable from now on just for Bevan because I love Bevan. So whenever she comes over to my place, she'll be able to watch her Bachelor.
So sweet. Well, I had that same problem. It like it pot after a while. It stops pot. Like you can't pause it anymore. So you have to just go. But yeah, we should get our streaming services.
Are you guys ready to kick this back?
Ready.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
No, we just had the lingerie lady.
I think it's actually picking back up with the lingerie lady.
Yeah, the pickup truck girl was good.
Oh, pickup. I liked her. That was fun. Oh,
he liked her.
Which he's from North Carolina. And he was like, oh, that's nice to have a commonality. Like made him easy concerns.
So maybe if you had to pick two girls to make it, it would be her and Mari, the girl he like stared at, perhaps.
Oh, Mari. Yeah. I was going to say ballet dancer, I think, makes it far too.
The ballet dancer?
Yeah. Well, I think you're right with Mari, though.
Show her, but yeah.
I think you're right with the two you said, the pickup truck and the Mari.
If you had to nix one girl so far, does anyone come to mind?
Oh, God. Queen Victoria. She's not, I don't think, herself yet.
I think the lady that kissed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lady in the Trampton.
Yeah, Lady in the Trampton.
I don't think he liked that.
Took a little far, Bevan, you think?
What?
You think that took a little too far for him?
I think he was off put by it. Yes, I do. I mean, I really think he's a little, I don't know. He seems a little bit more shy and reserved than I think that may have pushed him a little too far, but we'll see.
Bevan, I have a question for you. Do you not kiss someone upon first meeting them?
No.
Like just a straight walk towards you. You're like, wow. Well,
she does carry around a big thing of spaghetti with her, you know. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Me too.
Wow. We're going to see.
All right. Back to the episode. Go. Okay. What are your thoughts? We just saw the rest of the women. By the way, I didn't realize they hadn't finished the lingerie girl, her walk. Like, you know, because it made more sense when she was like, okay, I didn't know what to wear or whatever. I was confused. I thought she just like walked by him with a clothing rack and went into the house. So anyway, what were y'all's thoughts?
That would be really awkward if that was
okay. I guess I also have to come clean. The vibrator girl, definitely the person I was following on TikTok. This is blowing my mind. Okay.
Not even.
I was following her. I unfollowed her probably like 5 months ago. And so it's not healthy for me to follow too many beautiful women on TikTok or any social media. So I was cleaning up my feed, let's just say. And she actually is very dirty too. Like she even puts that in like her profile thing. Part of the reason I know this fresh right now is she randomly popped up on my For You page like today or yesterday, even though I don't follow her. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's like, you know, girl I followed for a little while. But yeah, she's kind of known for like very sexual humor and stuff. And she's a very beautiful woman too, obviously. But yeah, like I literally unfollowed her probably like 5 months ago. I mean, I've probably only seen like 5 videos of her or something, but nothing, when I saw those videos, nothing was Bachelor related in any way. So my guess is that she was like somewhat of a TikTok person and then got picked for it from that. But I don't know. It's making me actually really want to Google her now and find out which came first and in what order exactly.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, I'll send you links to her TikTok account if you guys want to check her out.
Well, that makes sense why she's doing, like, brought the dildo onto the show. Like, that's what she's
That's doing. Actually her personality. That's not, you know, that's also a good example of, like, not like of, sorry, what?
That's her brand, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's also a good example of, like, it's not like the producer somehow forcing it on her. That's, like, what I mean, they might, I don't know who, you know, how much they're involved, but like that, yeah, like you said, that's kind of her thing anyway. That's like her personality. She likes to joke that way anyway.
Oh, the producers are very involved. Like they very involved, like talk and like banter with you. And like, I even was watching another podcast. I think it was Clickbait BN with Tayshia's podcast. And I think Becca's on it and Rachel and maybe Joe. And they said that the producers are very much like, they're like there and like, you know, they'll pull you away for like an interview when something happens like right away. And they're like very involved and like, you know, they're like, oh, go. Or like bantering with the people. You just don't see it because they're of the editing and filming. But yeah. Interesting.
So what did y'all think? I know I thought I heard you say something about the sports car girl, Bevan, like if someone showed up in a sports car for you, that would be it or something.
I don't know. I would marry him right away. Or I would be like,
just right, take notes, Chris, take notes.
Cocktail party after. Yeah, he already knows. I would be like, we could just ditch the cocktail party. Let's go for a drive.
That's fair. She'll like insist on driving. Like,
that's true.
Get
that's
out true. Of the driver's seat.
I personally have PTSD with the name Corinne after the last Corinne on this television show. Oh, so yeah. That'll be interesting to see how this Corinne lasts.
That's true.
Chris was right on the confidence thing. That's what Matt James said. Didn't he just, Matt, say, like, right after you commented on that, Matt was like, oh, yeah, I love a girl with confidence. Or, like, I think it was.
Yeah, he liked the lingerie girl. Yeah. Apparently, because of that confidence or whatever.
Yeah. He helped her pick up.
What were you gonna say, Chris?
No, I mean, I guess confidence to me, that kind of a move is kind of not confidence, because
it's fair.
It's kind of like that kind of stuff is what you have, and it's like almost like your weapon to use, you know. Wow. And it's as opposed to, you know, having confident in your
without your having to stand there in lingerie.
I think it's two different things.
Well, that's a good point.
Also, I'm just going to go ahead and announce that I'm getting married to the deaf girl. She was adorable and genuine. Definitely she stole my heart immediately. We'll see how she stole Matt's.
Now
we will DM her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why that was sweet DMs.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I thought she was very genuine and cool and honest. It just seemed like, so.
Well, and to like what your point was, Chris, that's almost like that's confidence. I think her walking up with this kind of like, I don't want to call it a disability, but you know, like something, it's just like, this is who I am and I'm going to overcome it. And we're going to talk and I can't wait to meet you. That's almost like, that's the confidence.
That's the confidence I'm talking about.
It's kind of different.
Yeah. Where you just kind of put it up front and you let people know how you feel and you're totally fine with it and everything.
I also like how when Queen Victoria walked in, all the other girls, their facial expressions and reactions were as if an actual queen walked in. Like, oh my God, a queen is here. Like, I am so mad that they let a queen into this TV show. Like that made me really laugh. Like, I was like, guys, it's just like a gimmick. Like, why are you so upset?
I want her to go like at least top five.
They probably thought she was like a pageant queen because they do have that. Mm-hmm. So they were like,
oh God.
But she had footmen. She had four footmen.
That was great.
Her mask on, which was just like top notch to me. I just want her to go so far.
Is she in your top three right now, Bev?
Yes, please. Because the amount of drama she's going to bring is going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I said on the to Kobe when we were watching, I said, I want Queen Victoria and that Kit chick to go on a 2-on-1 date, please.
Yes.
You're here for Bevan's calling it.
It's happening. I would love that. I would love that. Are you guys ready to get back?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. So Chris was just commenting on the lot of nice girls on the show so far. What are your thoughts? We just saw, we saw his opening speech and then he talked to Rachel, right? That's the two main things, but yeah. What were you saying, Chris?
Well, Bevan asked me what I thought and I was like, oh no. Bevan asked me, well, I was basically saying whether or not, well, he said he was going to meet the love of his life. And I said, I think he probably will because, you know, when I think of The Bachelor, I think of stuffy women who are, you know, not, you know, don't have much to say, but just those women that I did see had a lot to say and came across really, really well and smart and well-mannered and all that. So I was very impressed.
I've watched probably 4 seasons total of like Bachelor/Bachelorette. And I have to say they do, in my experience, there are usually some very deep people they pick within, like they do a good job of variety. You know, they have the kind of shallow people, the crazies, but then some really deep people, seems like.
Thoughtful people. Yeah, he's got to make a love connection. That's what this show's all about, remember?
Oh, right. Forgot.
It's about love.
So that was the first time a bachelorette has opened with prayer, right?
I know, that was so cool. I was like, wow.
To be honest, I felt like in the past, in seasons I've seen where religion has come up, it has felt like they mostly edit it out, and in not a super malicious way, but just the end cut doesn't have, you tell, like they'll say something at the very, like this last season with Tayshia, at the very end you find out religion was part of the issue, but until that point I don't think anything about religion had come up in their conversations, I don't think. So it was surprising to see like a full, you know, very legitimately Christian prayer, as it sounded, you know, to be said like that at the beginning. So I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. And like, he's almost taking it, he's making it in his own season. Like, he doesn't know what they did or what they didn't do, unless I'm sure Hannah and Tyler told him, but he's just like, I'm doing this the way that I want to do it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that really until I guess Rachel brought it up. about how like he hasn't been on the other side, not really, you know, like most previous contestants have. So that's pretty interesting.
Right.
Yeah, and he did seem like a mature guy because he's talking about being vulnerable and being, you know, he's like, I don't know how many times he said he's not perfect, he's got issues, he's got this, he's got that. It's like, I think he said it two or three times just in that segment. It's, you know, and maybe you'll probably hear about it later on in the show about what some specifics about what he's talking about, but you might find out that he's got a lot of walls himself, you know.
Yeah, he right. seems
super. Sorry, Elise, what were you saying? He seems what?
Super nervous. But I like that he did the prayer because, like, that usually calms him down. And, like, it just, like, you, I like what you said, Bevan, that it made it his own season. Because I like that he's true to himself.
Yeah.
I do feel like the girls that already were, like, at a 10 with him after he prayed, they went to like a 2000, like the ones that are like remotely religious, or even if they're not that religious, it just shows this like depth and seriousness and maturity or whatever. But, you know, Rachel starts crying immediately and you can just tell it's like, you know, they're all like, I want this man now after that, I think, you know.
Yes. Well, it's like a connection that they have that you don't really get on The Bachelor ever, which is like, really nice.
All right, so this is making me think of the very first season of The Bachelor I watched, which is Chris Soule's season, okay?
Oh,
and there's a girl, which I think I know her name because she showed up on Tayshia's season or something. Carly, I believe is her name. Blonde girl, really sweet. Carly is such a common name. I can't remember. But anyway, near the end of the season, she makes it to like the last... It seems like the last four or six girls, not that many left. And I think maybe she was one of the last three because I think they're at his hometown. I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe they went to his hometown earlier in the season. Anyway, they were like at his church. Okay. Because they went to like his church or something for something. And Carly is like, oh my gosh, they have the same picture of Jesus, like same portrait of Jesus here that my grandmother like had in my house. And then she's immediately cut at the end of the episode. It just made me laugh of like, oh, wow, this spiritual, like, oh, it's, oh, it must be fate, must be God's will. And then she's gone. So there's a little Bachelor trivia for you. Any other thoughts?
No, well, just a fun fact is, Matt would do, well, I liked that Tayshia and Matt both like open about their religion. I thought that was really cool. But fun fact, in quarantine times, Matt, would do like, would have church, like virtual church and devotionals with, Hannah Brown. So they,
wow. So he's pretty legit as far as that goes.
Yeah. It's like so sweet to see that he's bringing it in because like he would do it. He joined Hannah. This is also another tangent, but Hannah Brown did a devotional series with this like super fun young Australian. She's so pretty too, but she's a pastor in at Oasis LA Church, and they did like a series where they did. I think it was weekly they did like, or daily for a week, they did devotions and they would talk and share their experiences and stuff. And Matt James, I definitely know he came on once because I was there and I saw it and they shouted out to him. So he definitely did that with Hannah Brown. So
cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really cool. It was very special.
Yeah. I'm going to have to Google Hannah Brown. I don't think I watched her season. I know that name. I've Googled it before, but
really?
Hannah B?
How long ago was it? Roughly?
It was like she was just before Claire, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, I probably I think I did miss that. So
I liked Hannah's season.
Yeah. All right. Back to the show.
Okay.
Go.
Queen Victoria.
Queen Victoria.
We had our 2-on-1 right away.
Victoria versus Kit, right?
Yeah, you're right, Bev. I think you're calling it. We'll see what happens in the season, but.
Well, if he can even keep her on, she's kind of going a little cuckoo, ka-choo. So I hope that
I don't think he will. I think he's going to get rid of her right away.
I hope so. I hope he keeps her.
He's just too mature for her, I think.
Yes, but entertainment.
Yeah, I feel like if he keeps her, it will be like the producer saying, hey, you need to keep this one on, you know, because he has plenty of spaces to keep the girls that he does want. And so it seems like the producers could be like, hey, you should also keep Victoria.
Yeah.
Wow, you think?
I mean, doesn't it feel like that in past seasons, ladies?
Yeah. There's usually the pot stirrer. I think they do influence a little bit.
Yeah.
So what happens when the girls don't have time? I mean, so they're sitting there, they're not going up to talk to them. And so what happens if they don't get a chance to talk to them?
Then they don't get a chance to talk to
them.
That's it.
So do they get kicked out or do they?
He's only getting 25 roses tonight. Right? 25, do they say?
How many girls are there?
32.
Oh, 32?
Most ever.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So he'll go down to what, 25, 28 tonight?
I never understand. Like, I
thought they cut more than that at the beginning, but I'm not the one to ask.
I feel like they cut down to like 19, but they usually have like 20 something. I don't know. Don't ask me. I have no idea because I could never figure that out on the Bachelor boards. I'm like, how do you know how many people are going to get cut?
Right.
Another kind of producer moment was when the poor Puerto Rican girl is talking about the devastation of a hurricane, and the producers must have been like, vibrator girl, get over here, go, 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 like,
enter.
Dildo, dildo, dildo.
Yes.
We need a dildo in the house. Please, dildo to patio, over.
That was definitely an awkward transition. And then y'all liked the mini tea in the back of a pickup truck date, right?
That was so cute. Yeah.
That was the best. I have to say that was the best first intro segue. I feel like she carried out her bit throughout the night, which a lot do. This was like T Swift, like Taylor Swift date in the back of a pickup truck, country music song. Cute romantic date. She just like in one night, and I was like, I'm sold.
Yeah.
And then Chris, there's that moment where I guess it was Kit that didn't know what he meant by drinking out of a fire hose. She was like, I've never heard that before. Is that Southern? And then what did he say? He started explaining it, and then I heard you say, Chris, like, wait, I don't know about that part or something. I don't know if you remember this.
The fire hose.
Drinking out of the fire hose.
I don't know what I said. I don't know.
I can't remember. He started awkwardly explaining it, I think. But Kit was clueless. I've heard that expression. Y'all have heard that expression, right? Drink out of, it's like drinking out of a fire hose.
Yeah, I've heard it. I think you were like, he doesn't know what he's saying or something.
Okay. Oh, so you've never heard that expression, Chris?
No.
Okay, fair enough. I haven't heard it that many times, but I was aware of it. Okay, so y'all were telling me I had to fill in on the catfish story, the ongoing catfish saga. So I probably am not being catfished, but I mean, I hope I'm not. But the reason why I say that is simply because I connected with this girl on Hinge who is this very beautiful Asian girl, like 2 days ago, very recent. I think she might have been a model at some point, like in her like two truths and a lie sort of thing. One of them was a model, and she connected like her Instagram, and some of her pictures look very model worthy. So that seems like it might be one of the truths. But she's just, we connected and just immediately very chatty. We've had great little conversation, but it's only been like two or three back and forths. Like I said, this was like, honestly, it might have been yesterday when we connected. I'm not sure. But she's responded fairly fast. And in this last message, she was like, by the way, if it's easier to text, here's my phone number or here's my Instagram handle. She also gave both of the, and I was just like, Oh, and she also said something about like, when, if we meet up or talk, we maybe you can explain your job, because I was saying I was a software engineer. And so that, you know, that's a little bit forward as well, to be like, when, if we meet up, sort of. I mean, not that forward, but I'm just saying we connected like yesterday. And so I was just like, I think I'm being conned. This is too good. This really beautiful girl is like already giving me her phone number and saying things like, maybe if we meet up. And I was like, so just, you know, I'll ping you guys every 6 hours, my location. And yes, you know, just if I disappear, you know.
You know, what's the ultimate catfish thing? That's because I've watched the MTV Catfish. If ask her if she'll FaceTime you, and if she doesn't FaceTime you, then be suspicious.
That's smart.
Right? Yeah.
And if you put the number, if you have an iPhone, if you put the number into your iPhone, if it turns blue, then she has an iPhone. If it turns green, right, it's Android. And usually if you're catfish, it's from an Android user.
That's funny. That's
so good to know. I'm going to say you can reverse Google image search too to see.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, honestly, I think she is real. Like, besides those key facts of just her being this beautiful girl that is immediately connecting and whatever, like, she seems real. Like, her pictures don't actually seem fake or anything, but it's just, too good to be true, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But you know, since it's pandemic quarantine times, it'll probably be a FaceTime first anyway, Chris. So, you know, when it turns out to be a 54-year-old, Midwestern dude, you know, then I'll find out that way, you know.
I hope you film it. You should watch a catfish
episode. Film it.
You should watch a catfish episode and then make your own.
Exactly. By the way, the original catfish documentary is great if you've never seen it. I think it's on Netflix, maybe.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure, but it's actually really great. And they explain where the term catfish comes from. It's at actually the very last scene of the movie that he explains it. But it's really fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
Are you going to make us watch it to find out what catfish means?
I'll tell you off air so that the listeners are just, you know, hey, listeners, we'll tell you next episode what catfish means. Okay. But now I have to listen. And we're not going to tell you where in the next episode we explain it. So you better listen to the whole thing. By the way, there's a question for the ladies on this call. I feel like I have to ask. Chris, you can answer if you want to. We just have to hear, like, 1 out of 10, how hot is Matt James? How attractive is he to y'all?
10 out of 10. He's a hottie.
He is very attractive.
That's how the girls are reacting. And obviously everyone wanted to be an applicant to this show or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah. Did you say the whole meal? Did you?
You applied, Kobe?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I had my friend. We FaceTimed and she like gave me my answers, or like we talked it out. And I was like, okay, so what should we put for this?
That's awesome. Amazing.
Yeah, I didn't That's get picked.
Awesome. One time, Kobe, you're gonna get it one time.
What'd you say, Elise?
Or Bevan? I said Matt James. I like to run.
I think if this doesn't work out for him, you're the next. Like, we swoop you in. You know what? We're gonna go to Florida. We can scope out where Tyler lives and is running in Jupiter. And
amazing.
Then we'll just take you down there.
Done. They had okay. someone.
Heck yeah. Them.
They so had a
we're doing for 2 days.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
They had someone that like fly from like Hawaii or something and like find the house. And they were like, oh no, you can't be part of the quarantine crew. non-crazy way.
That's so funny. No, I'm just going to drive around neighborhoods and be like, Tyler!
You never know.
Doesn't sound creepy.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts before we finish off this episode?
Nope.
All right, back to the episode. So I forgot one thing, guys. Who's going to get the first impression, Rose? We didn't predict. We have to predict this before watching the next section.
Pickup truck chick. I don't know her name.
Yeah, pickup truck chick. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great. Oh, I was gonna say Mari, but now I agree. Pickup trick.
I'm gonna just pick up trick.
Ta-da, you get a first impression.
I'm gonna say the vibrator girl, kidding. I'm gonna say, just for the fun of it, I mean, this is just a wild card, but I'm gonna say Rachel, the girl that cried after he prayed. You know,
that's
why not?
Sweet.
So, good. Okay. All right, here we go.
Didn't I say it? I said it. Yep.
Wait, what did you say exactly?
I just said that she was gonna do it, that she was gonna win him over. I said that earlier, I think. to myself.
I remember saying that she was my future wife, and unfortunately, yeah, we'll roll the tape, Chris. Okay, we'll check the surveillance cam on that one.
Roll it back.
But man, wow! Like, I mean, that was the first like legitimate kiss, you could say. Yeah. I mean, there's the spaghetti.
No.
Yeah, Lady and the Tramp moment, but What are y'all's thoughts?
First impression rose and first kiss.
I know.
That's crazy.
So what do you think it was? I mean, it must have been something we didn't quite see that separated her from everyone else. I mean, was it her beauty or personality or what? I don't know.
He kept saying he wanted people to be vulnerable. That was his reasoning. Right. And she was like upfront from the beginning. So if he's like, okay, this is what I'm here for. And he has a game plan. And I feel like he has a game plan. Like he keeps saying the same things over and over again. So he's like reassuring himself. He's like, okay, this is what we talked about. This is what I'm going in with. But maybe that's just me.
Another thing is like, I think we like all are immediately attracted to a degree to someone when we find out they've been through a pretty big hardship. Like it's kind of, so Bevan was telling me I need to, Elise was telling me I should plug my my own podcast, which is kind of a philosophy theology podcast, to take this all deep. But so you can look that up at Robert L. White, the Robert L. White show, if you want to. It's considered the second best podcast on iTunes after yours truly, the one we're currently doing. I mean, it is just fascinating. Like, do you all feel that too? Like when you hear someone, and I don't want to overplay what it's like to be deaf or blind or something like that, but they just have lived, you know, to a degree, they've lived a different life than everyone else and have, you know, you immediately know that they have been an outsider in one dimension for their whole life immediately, you know? And it's like, it just, to be like a fully functional, mature person and to also have dealt with that, you just automatically are probably going to have this layer to you that other people don't, you know? And it's like, I don't know. That's just, to me, it's immediately attractive when you know someone has struggled with something that most people haven't. So, and to me that shows through in her being vulnerable or whatever. And when you see someone who is also confident on top of that, you know, it's not a shallow confidence kind of. So to me and maybe that's superficial or something. And obviously there's people who have been through hard stuff or have disabilities that are not the best of people or whatever. But I mean, to me, it's magnetic right away. Like soon as you see that someone's been through something like that, it's like, as soon as Zach on the last season, you found out his history with like contemplating suicide and all this stuff. It's like, it just kind of rules out that person being superficial on some level. They might still be a jerk or whatever, but it kind of rules out them being just a total airhead superficial person. That's my thought.
Well, I think it shows their strength. So Zach was an addiction specialist. So he suffered through addiction. I don't know if he had the same suicidal thoughts as Ben, but same.
Okay. Yeah. I'm getting them all confused probably.
Yeah. They all had very, which I think I admired about the men from Tayshia's season was their maturity. Like, I feel like they had gone through things and then had like overcome them. And I think that's very attractive and like very like, and they've like used it to like, not buoy them, but kind of like they've used it as a way to be like, okay, I've like been through this and like and it's part of their story and they've made something good out of it, or like have become stronger from it or more mature from it, or have like, yeah, I think it's like a very like sign of strength. But
Is she our number one right now, would y'all say?
I mean, first impression,
that I mean, I guess obviously she's his number one currently.
I don't, Bevan, do you know the stats on the first impression rose? Like how many of those are the ones that they actually choose?
I don't know. I think that they go, they typically go far. I'm not sure that they're the ones who he, who they pick. I'm really not sure about that. I think that, I'm trying to think, I just watched Sean Lowe's season again.
Yeah.
Which was really good.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Trying to think of who he gave the first impression rose. Oh, it was Lindsay who was second, actually. On her,
but he
on
chose Catherine.
Right, right. So, I think they do go far typically. Like, I think that they're
front runners.
They're up there, yeah. So, I don't know. I still think Pickup Truck Girl's got to be in there unless she says unless he's so superficial and it just doesn't open up. But you know,
lingerie girl, do you think lingerie girl makes it?
What about vibrator girl and Victoria? Do you think they'll both be cut this round?
I hope not.
I hope so.
I think I'm gonna say Victoria lasts.
So I say no.
Chris says I hope so. Is that what he said?
Well, I just think the guy has a really good level of like maturity, and he's a good looking guy. I don't think he has trouble finding girlfriends.
Ten out of ten.
Right. So it's like, I don't think that stuff works on him. I think he's in it for deeper reasons, you know, and that stuff does not work on him. I think it's nice to like look at and to, you know, to get a rise out of him, but that's not going to take people far.
Sorry, go ahead, Bevan.
I'm in it for the 2-on-1 with the princess and the queen, please.
Yes, Kit and Victoria. I'm going to say Victoria makes it probably because of the producers. Like, I don't think Matt would actually choose Victoria as someone to stay, but I think she will stay because she is such a centerpiece of the girls right now. I'm going to say vibrator girl also makes it for probably similar reasons. Like, and maybe Matt is more open of like, hey, I don't want to, you know, judge her for being just a little, you know, raunchier humor or whatever. Like, I want to see what's there. So yeah, I'll say both of them make it actually.
Well, I don't know how much control The Bachelor actually has over the show, but as a fan, if I was to see him get rid of the vibrator girl right away, I would be a happy fan. I'd be like, that's right, man. He's a good guy. Yeah. You know, it's like, that would make my day as a fan. But I don't know how much control he has over the show.
So remains to be seen if you're the target audience, Chris. So we'll see.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
No.
So fun fact, there was a podcast that I listened to. My friend sent it to me, and it was an interview with Colton, and he was the bachelor that jumped the fence, and he revealed some things. Like, if you listen to it, it was as far as like the how much control the bachelor has, I guess. It kind of alluded to stuff. So he ranked his top three every week. So he would tell the producers, these are the three that he really likes. And then I think they kind of like manipulated some of the dates and like their and that sort of thing, because he never put Cassie as his top. And so the producers,
was Kathy who won?
Yep. Cassie's the one he only liked. Like, he was like, this is the girl, but he never told, he was like, I'm going to like, cause he noticed that when he gave his top three, those girls wouldn't be on dates. And so he was like, well, okay, then I'm going to rig the system. And so that screwed him in the butt, because he like, well, at least towards the end, I don't know all the ins and outs, but towards the end when he was getting down to his final ladies, like final four or something, the producers brought in Cassie's dad to convince her to like go home and like leave the show. And that's why Colton jumped the fence, because he was like, what? He's like, she was it. Like, that was the one. They're like, but you never told us that. Like, you never put her in your top three. Like, she wasn't your number one. And so he was like, I'm quoting
that. Wait, he was doing that because they didn't put the top three in dates with them usually. So he was trying to actually get dates with her or something.
Yeah. Like he was trying to mess with the producers. So he said like, these are the ones that in the initial stages, he said, these are the ones I like. So I need to go back and listen to that podcast again, and maybe I'll link to it or something. But it was basically like in the initial stages, he said, these are the top ones. And then she wasn't like on a date. And so he was just like, okay, fine. These are my other top ones. it didn't work out at the end, towards the end of the show. So don't mess with the producers. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And as
I feel like they do keep the people, like what he was saying is they do keep, like, they'll keep Victoria and Kit together and they'll make a group date happen. So the drama comes.
It's so good when they do that. Yeah. It's so good.
So good. There's like so many producers that work on the show. Chris Harrison posted a photo of the crew on Tayshia's set. And it was just like so many people just like, you know, coming together before they go and, you know, make magic happen.
And according to Ashley S, they are making bets about who's going to go forward behind the scenes. And they're all like conniving. Do you guys remember that? That was Crystal's season. Ashley S was a crazy one on that season. Yeah. She thought all the people working on set were constantly talking about them and making bets about who was going to make it and stuff. And so she was like going back there and like, I know what you guys are doing. I know what you're doing.
Yes. I remember that. That's so funny.
That's right. She is like married with two kids now.
Well, good for her. one final question for y'all before we go back. What would be your tactic to getting the bachelor's attention on the opening night? Like, how do you get it? Do you interrupt? Do you go early? Do you have the guts to jut in and steal time? This goes for Chris too, when it's a bachelorette.
Great question. Bevan?
Or do you want what I think I would hope that I would do?
I want the honest answer of what you think, what you would want to do and what you think you actually would do.
Okay.
For me, I struggle sometimes being as assertive as I should be. And so it would intimidate me to try to interrupt someone's time. So, but at the same time, like, I feel like there's such a, like, everyone knows you get what, I mean, I don't know how long they're actually with the person, like 10, 15 minutes or whatever. So I think I would.
If you're interrupted by a dildo or not.
That's true. That really changes things. I would probably be all in my head about what I was going to say to her, either as at the beginning or during my time. And then, yeah, I guess it wouldn't be that big a deal to be like, hey, can I steal her for a second? Because, I mean, it's kind of expected, you know. I wouldn't be a jerk about it, though. Like, I wouldn't have the guts to do that. And I would be scared that I would be completely off-putting if I did that, too. What are y'all's thoughts, though?
Okay, I think that I would want to do, like, an activity. So, like, when they did, like, salsa dancing or, like... Right. I've seen girls with some of the football players like throw footballs. I was like with him, he's played football. So like doing something like that, cause I like that. So I would hope that I would do an activity. I probably would be like the girl who's sitting back on the thing and everyone's like, oh, I didn't get any time. And I'll be like, yeah, I didn't either, because I just would not go over there. I think I'd be too nervous.
Oh, that's a great one.
I would, but I might.
Like the girl in this episode where Victoria's like, you can just go right now. You haven't seen him. And she was just like, no. You know, that doing that activity is a smart idea, but I would also be worried that we would do 10 or 15 minutes of like some fun activity and like not really talk, and you want to like have that quote unquote deep connection or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah, Elise, but I don't think you need that till later on though. This is just about, you know,
true,
right?
True.
And it's just in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. I have a hard time believing you'll get the first impression, Rose, by just doing something fun. But at the same time, I don't know if you can predict getting the first impression, Rose, either.
But we're in it for the long haul. We're in it for the
That's
long
right,
haul,
Elise.
Robert. This is a love show. So we're ready to make a laugh.
Sorry, y'all. I still have a lot to learn, so I appreciate this.
This is, let me tell you, a lasting impression.
Right.
Not necessarily the first impression, although it does seem to get you far. The lasting impression. This is what we're aiming for. So that's why I'm a big fan of the activity. Like, I would like do something where it's like, you know, you're you can loosen up and you can chat while you're doing it. And especially it loosens you up. So you're doing something with your body. So you're not all in your head. You're like not thinking about it. Like that would be fun. I would play catch. Like that would be a fun activity.
And you can talk about the hurricanes in Puerto Rico while you're playing catch, right?
That's real deep. Like I don't know if I would go that.
I think you can't plan that. You know, I think it just happens. Yeah. Like, because even that conversation, it just happened because she was from Puerto Rico and he brought that up, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you can't lead with that.
Let me tell you. I don't.
Chris, what is your answer? Any tactic? Or would you do activity, sit on the bench, go for the early makeout? What are we thinking?
Just pull her in.
Ready.
Just be like, come here.
I'd probably go like on in the first round. I mean, I have no idea, man. I think I would... I want to do something in nature, but you can't in that kind of situation. You know, it's, what are you going to do? I mean, you're in the middle of a mansion. You know, I really have no idea.
Would you just the pickup truck?
Pull them, or would you just
you
sit?
You just steal the pickup truck one.
Would you go and like steal some time?
I mean, if I really liked the girl, if I really connected, but you know, it's hard to say because I don't know. If I didn't get the impression on the first meeting, I mean, I might just kind of be blah, you know, just kind of wait for me to leave. And
Chris is the one that leaves on his own accord in like episode 3.
Right. I'm like, hey, you know, yeah, it's okay. I appreciate it. Hey, good luck, man. I'm out of here.
Oh my God.
I think for myself, I think I'd be too nervous that, whatever activity I chose, I guess I would have to be really confident that she would be into that. I guess what I'm trying to say is I have more confidence in my ability to like have good conversation in that first 15 minutes than to pick an activity that seems fun and quirky in my head, but then maybe falls a little flat or something. Like I have more confidence I'd probably have more confidence just like sitting on the bench with her and being like, I'm just gonna have our first real conversation for 20 minutes and trust that. So that'd probably be what I'd do.
Check
I'm
out
getting
Robert
some
L. White's podcast.
Check out Robert L. White. Hey, if this is your thing, just check out my podcast, slide into my DMs. You know,
slide into
us. Talking.
What does that mean?
Slide DMs. I like to move, I like activity.
I know. I would be too nervous that I would just like stutter and just like forget what I was trying to say. And I would just.
And then you would be adorable in that first conversation. You'd be adorable and relatable. I promise you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right, Chris? Right? She would. No, you would. Elise, you'd be great too. You are in the top one most enthusiastic people I've ever met. And.
Amazing.
That's why we do an activity, so you forget about all the other stuff happening and you just like have a little fun.
Me too.
Right.
Same with me.
That was Bevan's idea. I liked it. The activity.
I'm in there, Kobe and I.
All right, y'all ready to get back? We'll have one short commercial break after this and then the end. Okay. So here we go.
Okay.
All right. So we just saw the first rose ceremony. First of all, there was a disaster on this episode. Two of the girls had the same dress. This was a travesty.
Yeah. I think I told this to Kobe during the show. I think they should have gone up to him and said, who wore it best? To kick off a conversation.
I'm really surprised it wasn't addressed at all by anyone. It just happened. No. You know, that is kind of funny.
I love the that worst. The producers stood them right next to each other so you could watch it the whole time. That was amazing. Exactly. Thank you, producers.
Exactly what I was gonna say. The worst part is that when he said, like, they mixed each other up. I don't know if you caught that, but when he said a name, the one girl started to step forward, and the girl behind her in the same dress was like, "No, I think he said Alana."
I saw that.
And then they were like, "What did you say?" He's like, "Yeah, Alana instead of Alana Anna," and they were in the same dress in the same spot. And they one misheard. Amazing. And it was like, oh no.
And Anna or Anna, whatever, she didn't make it, right? She didn't get a rose, right?
No, she did.
No, they both did.
Oh, they both did. Nice.
Yeah. So they can continue to twin. They can twin exactly. The rest of the
twin
season.
The whole time.
And we totally.
What dress did you bring for the cocktail ceremony?
Yeah.
And we totally called Victoria and Katie, aka Vibrator Girl, both making it. So yeah. Props to us. We called it. And Chris, I heard you say, "Hey, I called it too." I specifically said Vibrator Girl was going to make it, and Victoria. I said, "Roll the tape, Kofi. Roll the tape." Okay.
I said the ballerina was going to make it. She didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Chris, you said that you thought you could tell that he probably didn't really want Victoria. Like, you agreed that it was probably the producers.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was just saying that it's just the way that he said her name as the last rose, and the way that he looked when he said it. And he just doesn't seem like a guy who would be fooled by a woman like that. You know, he seems like a smart dude. You know, where it's just kind of the it's just the fodder. You know, the
right.
You know, so
I wouldn't even say she's putting on that great of moves, you know, like there isn't that much to see through, you know. I will say one of the I thought one of the cutest girls, I can't even remember what her name was. I remember she was like an IT consultant or something, but she did not make it. She didn't get a lot of screen time, so she's gone. But did Abigail make it? She's the first rose, right?
The rose,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Got the so first good. Rose.
Exactly. So what about the preview for the next for the season? New people showing up, and did y'all recognize some of those people? I didn't know any.
I don't know.
How many?
I think it was one of his ex girlfriends or something.
Oh, interesting. There was, so when I did a little research, I'm probably gonna get this wrong, but there was so Chris Harrison he started to do a live introduction, overview of the girls, not all the girls on this, not all the girls. I think he just goes, he's introduces the girls on YouTube. And there's someone else who goes through that tape and then compares the preview footage, and he's like, I predict this person's gonna go this far or whatever. I just found it, and he said that there was a girl, the girl in the hot air balloon, which I have to look back and see if that's correct, but he that wasn't on the cast list, which is online on ABC, but or I think she had been on a previous cast list and then is now gone, or so there was unaccounted for women. So I guess that's what that preview shows, is these new ladies coming in. But Heather is a new lady, but an old lady from
which one was
season?
And Heather, she comes in. Wait, was she the blonde girl that was crying?
The thin blonde girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Old lady, blonde girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, you go.
Well, I was just wondering, why would they do that? Why would they bring people from another episode, another show, into this episode?
She probably contacted the show and said, I'd like to be on because I know Matt. And that's what happens typically in the past. They contact a producer and say, I want to get me on the show.
Like Nick Viall showing up for Caitlyn season, right? Oh gosh, Robert, am I nailing this?
Right.
Yeah, that's like 3 for 3. I'm so proud.
I know.
Hashtag bachelor bro.
Okay, so Bevan. Ooh, I like that. Just get your all of your bachelor bros out there.
Yep.
Trending. Wait, Bevan, do you want to explain who Heather is? And then I'll tell you my inside Instagram watching knowledge about Heather.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, she was on Colton season and she came on as just kind of this young, naive girl who she had never kissed somebody. And she's like 22 and was super, she's super sweet, but just like really young and just inexperienced. And she had her first kiss with Colton ever.
Right.
And then he sent her home after a while. They weren't going to be a connection. And then her and Hannah became like best friends.
Yep.
On the show and then like hang out after. So if you follow Hannah B's Instagram, they're on there a lot because I think she's in California.
Yeah. With Hannah correct.
As well. So that's all I know about her.
Yeah. Brilliant. That was exactly it. And so I follow their like Instagram stories sometimes and all the time. And they're friends now because they were both on Colton season, Hannah B and Heather. And I think Heather's originally from San Diego and now they both live in LA. Okay. And so I feel like the quarantine crew has visited Hannah B in LA. I mean, they definitely have because Tyler's been on her YouTube channel, but so I think Heather must have known Matt James through Hannah B. Since Hannah B was like trying with Tyler C and she had been quarantined with them. And then Hannah B obviously is doing devotionals with Matt and like, well, obviously it was quarantined forever. So I think there must've been some connection there with Heather and Matt, which would explain why she comes on the show.
Right.
Yeah. So who are y'all's like top two or three? What would you say?
Good question.
You know, I can't even remember their names at this point. I mean,
yeah, just describe them in really reductive, offensive terms, and we'll go from there. I was so sure. I was like, I have to learn the girl who's deaf. I have to learn her name because I cannot call her the deaf girl again. And it's Abigail. It's Abigail. So we're good there.
Abigail, yeah. Abigail's great.
She's top three, right? I mean, she got the first impression rose. She has to be top three.
Yeah.
What's the girl in the green dress?
Rachel, I believe. I think I was going to say her as well. If I'm thinking of the same person.
She was the first one out of the limo.
Was she the first
rose?
And she cried when he prayed, right? Is that, are we talking about the same person?
I didn't see that.
Oh, okay.
Pickup truck girl is
good.
Oh, yeah.
What was Abigail's response when he prayed in the beginning? Do you know?
I don't think they.
I don't know.
They didn't show. I was just curious.
Mm-mm. What about the twinning dress? I don't know.
They're going home.
Yeah.
I think I remember the train wrecks right now. I don't really remember the people that were noteworthy. Yeah.
That he connected with.
I mean, that's probably almost partly intentional, you know, by the producers, I would think. It is funny. You pick up these tricks of like when they show the person during the rose ceremony, like this is something like y'all taught me, like where you hear the voiceover, like, I just didn't get enough time with him. I don't know if this is going to be it. You know, I will just be devastated if I'm going home. That at least I feel like early on, like they're about to be picked. Like they build that up and they get picked. And obviously there are cases when not, but like both girls they did that with in this episode got picked, you know, like they try to build up that tension. And then like three or four roses later, they, you know, he picks them.
Right.
Cut. yeah, so good.
I was curious Has there ever been a bachelor or bachelorette that did not cry during their season?
I don't think so.
No, it sounds like he's going to have a tough season. I don't know. It just looked really...
Dude, that's every season, Chris. Like, every season looks like... See, right? Doesn't every season look like that?
Yeah. Yes.
You're right. But they do every single time. It looks like that.
I thought it was just going to be lots of making out and lots of, you know, like...
No, it's mostly crying. It's mostly crying.
We do have a tear count. Like, we take track. We count how many tears are... like,
right.
It's a tear counter.
One thing I liked about this, I think they're doing a lot of diversity, and I can't remember this about a bachelor or bachelorette. I mean, it's probably been a while, but there's not a lot of them who don't have, who have parents who have been divorced.
Mm.
I think a lot of times it's like, oh, my parents had this great marriage and I want to have this great marriage. I can't think of a bachelor or bachelorette who had divorced parents, but
and he does.
I think his dad is not necessarily in the picture because he talks a lot about his mom and being mm-hmm. with his mom and not so much his dad. So I'm curious as to what that is, if they'll even talk about it, but I don't know. I just think again, I just watched Sean's season and they're all talking about, oh, my family is great, or, you know, can your family be with my family? And I'm just, coming from a divorced family, I appreciate that they're showing that on TV. And I think that that's another piece of the diversity, like,
yeah,
you know, and showing the struggle, I think, because that is a big part too of, you know, figuring out how to navigate that for yourself when that wasn't the example that you had. So I like that part of it.
That's cool.
I agree. Very well said, Bethan.
Oh, thanks.
How far do you think Vibrator Girl is going to make it?
I hope 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. We're going to get tired of her after that.
Yeah. I just hope that thing doesn't like show up randomly on dates and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I think he's going to get tired of her.
Yeah, you know? I think so too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a real question. Who's going to make it longer, Victoria or Vibrator Girl? And I'm going to say Vibrator Girl.
Victoria.
I'm Victoria.
No, I think the Vibrator Girl.
I think Victoria. I'll tell you why. I'll make my
battle of the sexes.
Yeah. Huh?
I'm partly using data in the sense that maybe I missed Victoria in the preview, but I definitely saw like him kissing Katie, the Vibrator Girl. And like, I saw her in multiple scenes during the preview. So I'm partly using that, but it's not just that. I actually think if you're going to be around a person, like, I don't know, Victoria was like almost insufferable from the beginning. Like, Vibrator Girl, I don't want to date her, but like, I would probably still have fun on a date with her. Victoria, I don't know if I can say the same.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't really see the girls on the who was on the preview, so I have to watch it again specifically.
Oh, right. Y'all couldn't see
it. The reason I picked Victoria is because I think that they're gonna try and bounce her off of Kit. Yeah, that's the only reason I said it. I think she's a good character with Kit, but I agree with you of maybe the Vibrator Girl's got some more depth in there, and this is just her, this is again her brand,
right.
So she's marketing it, but and that might make her smart. She might be branding and marketing herself, and that's
as the dildo girl, you know, that's smart move, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it seemed like the dildo girl had a little bit more. I don't know her name.
Katie.
Can you imagine that's your name? Oh God.
She just seemed to have a little more personality and a little more dimension to
for sure.
to her shtick, you know?
Yeah.
Where the queen was just so just, you know, flat, and, you know, it's going to get old a lot quicker, I think. I think she's going to be gone pretty soon. That's why.
So this is going to sound a little harsh, but it keeps coming to mind. There's a funny TikTok I recently saw, and it's this lady on a farm, and it shows this, I think it's a llama, like eating like mulch or something. And she's looking at it, and she's like, "Oh, Henry, there's just nothing going on behind those eyes, is there, Henry?" And he's just like chewing, looking at her. And she's like, "Oh, just sweet boy. There's just nothing going on behind there. Is not a thought in your head." And the funny thing is, on TikTok, you can use someone else's sound and create a new video. And so seen like girlfriends show their boyfriends and be like, "Oh, Henry, there's just nothing going on behind those eyes." And I had a moment with Victoria where I was like, "Oh, Victoria, there's just nothing going on behind those eyes." Sweet girl, there's just nothing going on.
Sweet girl,
that's amazing. That's so funny. We haven't even talked about how they previewed, or they keep cutting it, so that it alludes to that there's like an escort, like someone that dates
right. wealthy men. Yeah, did they hint at who that was, or could we? I'm trying to remember if we could tell from the I know y'all couldn't see it very well.
I couldn't see. I think gave more hints.
Have any guesses?
No.
Mm-mm. No. Oh, I think he likes that journalist girl too. The one whose dad has ALS. I feel she was in the previews.
She was in the previews, yeah. I don't know her name though.
Yeah. No one knows their names. They need name tags. They should introduce themselves before they speak every time.
Yes.
Any
or you'll be called Fildor Girl.
Right.
No, that's her own fault.
Any final thoughts on the episode?
Go get a Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. I'm excited. Like, Matt seems like a genuinely good guy, and there's some deep girls on here too, I think. So I think it's gonna be good.
Yep. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Yep.
Final thought: I need to work on my six pack abs. That's for sure.
You, me, both.
Nah. Oh, I liked when he was like, he was very playful. Like, I feel like he's getting, hopefully he'll get into his own too, but he was like playful, and he was like, "Okay, it's been a long night," and you could see that because they were all walking out at daylight, so you know they had to refilm and film and film, and because they redo the rose ceremony sometimes, but to get it right. But he, at the end, he was like, "I know it's been a long night." He's like, "So we're all going to get our gym clothes on and go run a half marathon." Yeah. And he was just joking. It was so cute.
That's great. Yeah, that's in contrast to Chris Soules, my first season, once again, who was basically a robot and had no personality.
Yeah.
So it's nice when they have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Matt James, we're rooting for you.
All right, well, thanks everyone for listening to the best and greatest Bachelor podcast there is. So
obviously
tune in next week. Elise, close us out with some wise words or something. I don't know, tell a joke or something. I'm putting you on the spot.
Rose tonight.
Go check out Elisa's blog. Say it again. What's your blog?
After the final rose.blog.
All right. Bye, y'all. Goodbye.
Bye.